Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of my basement here on Long Island, it is the Zach Gelb Show coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. Number to jump on board on this Friday for the next 4 hours is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Could always give me a follow, shoot me a tweet via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, and also at CBS Sports Radio for our network's account. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Coming up on the show today, we got not one, not two, but three awesome guests. In 15 minutes, Saints linebacker Demario Davis is going to join us at 6:40 p.m. Eastern. We'll also be joined by Pistons head coach Dwayne Casey. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, former MLB closer Brad Lidge will stop by. So Demario Davis, Dwayne Casey, and also Brad Lidge on the menu today. Also got Matt Essig back in our New York City studios. Thank him for all of his hard work throughout the week and getting the show together from their respective homes. We got Tom DiBenedetto and also Mikey B riding the train as well. I guess this is the first day where the coronavirus pandemic and having it altering our lives has really, really, really personally affected me in terms of I feel as if I'm losing my mind on this Friday. Usually on a Friday, you start the show off, oh, happy Friday, we get to enjoy the weekend. But with the way that we're currently living, the days just blend together. And when you used to look forward to the weekend, now the weekend feels as if it's just a regular weekday because we're in this constant cycle of doing nothing. My day, I wake up, I have a protein shake, I go for a walk, I come back, I lift some weights, I turn on the television, read some articles about sports online, and there's basically nothing these days. And then I go outside, listen to some music, sit down on my porch, drink a cup of tea, maybe go for another walk, and it's the same thing over and over and over again. And last night in the final segment, I forget we were talking about baseball, and somehow I transitioned it to taking my dog on a walk and how the dog's probably getting tired of going on all these walks, and I'm sitting there and I go, what the heck are we even talking about? So you're going to have some of these days in this roller coaster that we call life. And we're on a roller coaster ride right now that is foreign to us and something we've never seen with the coronavirus pandemic. And it makes me get more excited to do the show. It does. I'm always excited to do these shows, but at least this gives us 4 hours of a distraction. And sometimes, yes, there's going to be a lot of conversation about the coronavirus with all three of our guests. It's going to come up. When you call us, it's going to come up. And just with how we're waiting and waiting and waiting to return to that normal state, this conversation is going to keep on happening. And there's going to be days that you're in a positive, optimistic mood and you're feeling all good. And for the most part, because I'm pretty fortunate and you know what, this hasn't hit me too badly. I've been in a positive mood. But then there's going to be days where you're losing your mind and where you want to just rip out your hair and you go, I just want my life back. And that's what we're in right now. And that's the way I feel. I'm not going to sugarcoat this to you. What's going on right now absolutely sucks. It's miserable. It's awful. It's terrible. But at least we have a platform here that can serve as a distraction, also can serve as a form of entertainment, and we get to connect with one another. So when we do this show for the foreseeable future, some days I'm going to come on the air and it will be business as usual. It will be as if nothing's going on. And then other days, it's going to personally hit you, because I'm sure each and every person has been through this roller coaster ride already, where some days, this isn't, that different, or you haven't enough distractions out there to get your mind off knowing that the fact that it's different. And then other days you're going to say, when is the end going to happen? And really, what hit me last night was when I'm watching CNN, and I hear that we have the most cases here in America, that the cases in America are the most in the world, if you look at it by each country. So this stuff, it stinks. There's no going around it. It's awful, but we have to keep on doing our job, and that's what we're going to do here Monday through Friday on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what? In Saturday and Sundays, there's going to be great programming as well. A lot of the guys that are on during the week on other stations or on this network too, you're going to start hearing them on this network a little bit more. I know that there's going to be some changes to the lineup this upcoming weekend when you tune in to your regularly scheduled shows on Saturday, and Sunday is going to be a little bit different. So we'll keep on trucking along, and we'll keep on trying to do our best, but there's going to be some days where you just feel it in your bones, where you go, you have someone basically screaming inside your body, and you're saying, when is this going to end? I'm going insane. Like, enough already. Please, can we just get back to our lives? And unfortunately, this thing is not going to end sooner rather than later, because I was hearing just in New York, the mayor speak either earlier today or late last night, Mayor Andrew Cuomo. And he was talking about, Governor Andrew Cuomo, I should say, and he was talking about how that this is only going to get worse, and how he doesn't expect it to reach its peak until, 3 weeks from now. So, hey, hopefully it's not hitting your family too badly. If you know someone that has it, hopefully they're practicing the correct social distancing and also quarantining themselves and trying not to spread this. Because we have a lot of knuckleheads in this world. When you read about people licking deodorant and people going into grocery stores and saying they have it when they don't. And those people, I read that they got arrested, and good thing that they did, because they're clowns that we don't need. So hopefully, and I know people that have been affected by this, some people very close to me. I shared a story last week how my mom's best friend, my mom's college roommate, her father got it and unfortunately passed away. So it has hit me to some extent. And I know people that had it or knew people that had it. And you hope that we could get through this. And in some amount of time, we'll look back and say, wow, we survived this. Wow, we kicked this thing's butt. And now we're going to move forward and appreciate life even more. So when we get to my main sports topic to start today, because we do got to get to Demario Davis coming up in about 5 minutes, I do commend and I do applaud the commissioner of the National Football League and Roger Goodell. I give him a standing ovation. And if you listen to me over the years, I am the farthest thing from a Roger Goodell fan. I am the complete antithesis of a Roger Goodell fan. Right now, though, as someone that loves sports, as someone that sleeps, eats, and breathes sports, I want sports. I don't need sports. No one needs sports. We love sports. We appreciate sports. We want sports. But your life will go on without sports. You don't live or die depending on if you get to watch your sports or not. And that's coming from a huge sports fan. But when we have something like this going on and people say, I need sports, you don't need sports. You need your health. But I do want sports. I do want that distraction. So if the NFL came out last night and said, we're canceling the NFL draft, or we're postponing the NFL draft, and we're going to move it back at a date to be determined, I wouldn't have ripped the NFL. I wouldn't have complained. I wouldn't have said, man, Roger Goodell and the National Football League are making an abysmal decision and a big-time mistake. I wouldn't have done that. Because in life right now, everything is changing. Everything is different. And every company, every organization, every business is hopefully doing their best in making a decision. And they're making a decision that they think it is correct. It may not be the correct decision. This is all new. Sometimes you're going to make right decisions. Sometimes you're going to make wrong decisions. But I would think in times like this, you would hope and you would pray that every business is trying to make the right decision. And for the National Football League, they saw what just happened the last week, week and a half, where people are talking about football and people are getting a distraction when we want a distraction and maybe even need a distraction, but we could get those distractions in other ways. And the NFL provided us a avenue to get those distractions, as it was a little bit different free agency from behind the scenes, but publicly you still saw player X, player Y, player Z, player ABC sign with that team, and it allowed you to have that natural reaction and that and show some natural emotion, where for a second you're so worked up that Tom Brady left the Patriots, or you're so excited that Tom Brady joined the Buccaneers, or Teddy Bridgewater is going to Carolina, or you're upset that Cam Newton was let go by the Carolina Panthers, that it gives you a platform and it gives you some time to vent about something other than facing reality in what we're dealing with right now in the coronavirus. So with all that happened the last week, week and a half, I thought it was very positive. I thought it was very good for the National Football League, and I thank the National Football League for providing that to us and letting us get a quick escape. And some days, you didn't even think about what was going on when you would host a sports talk radio show. And then other days, you're thinking about what's going on because there's no true escape from the reality that we're facing right now as a country and also as a world. But with that being said, I appreciate when there are those types of distractions. So the NFL had a decision to make. In a month, do you go on with the NFL draft, or do you say we're going to postpone it? And Roger Goodell, even though the GMs didn't want to do this, he came out and said, we are going on with the draft. And I love that decision. I really do love that decision. And people are getting on the commissioner today because he is a polarizing figure. He is someone that I don't like. He is someone that a lot of people don't like. And when he has this tone and he makes an emphatic statement saying public discussions by league personnel, GMs, coaches, players, whatever, of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary actions. And usually I would never defend a quote like that, but in this time I am. Because Roger Goodell has a lot of pressure on his plate right now. Roger Goodell is doing what he thinks is right, and he's saying, guys, you may not love the decision. You may not agree with that decision, but let's not bitch about it. Let's not complain about it right now, and we're going to move on in a time where people are looking for a distraction. We're going to provide them that distraction. So today, to start the show, I commend Roger Goodell. And I usually never say anything positive with the many blunders that Roger Goodell has committed since being the commissioner of the National Football League. But today and last night, he's done a masterful job in the last 24 hours. He made a decision, he's sticking by it, and he's sending a tone to the rest of his league by saying, if you don't like it, that's fine. But you going on out there and saying, this was stupid by the commissioner, he shouldn't do this, it serves no benefit. And let me be honest, I don't care if a general manager right now is upset that the draft is going on and they want to get an extra month of preparation. I don't care. I'm all for this distraction, and I thank you, Roger Goodell. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll take a timeout when we come on back. Saints linebacker Demario Davis will join us on the Zach Gelb Show.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb on Twitter. Our poll question today, out of these three quarterbacks, who will play the best during the 2020 NFL season? Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, or Josh Allen? Currently, the early returns in third place, Baker Mayfield at 31%. In second place, Josh Allen at 33%, and in first place at 36%, Sam Darnold. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at GEICO.com. Easy. We're waiting on Demario Davis, all-pro linebacker from the New Orleans Saints. Let me go out to the hotline, though, right now, and Mitch is calling in California. What's happening, Mitch?
How you doing?
Mitch, doing great. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Just wanted to raise a little awareness to people who are really missing sports, and that's freelance producers, directors, tape operators, audio technicians all across the country that put on these sports for everyone to enjoy. Yesterday was the first day since 1991 that I wasn't a part of an opening day, and boy, I missed it like everyone else did, but also a lot of us missed the paycheck. So we've got a camera operator in Detroit who was in the Utah locker room who's now contracted the COVID. He's in a medically induced coma.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's hitting home, you know, and a lot of networks have stepped up. CBS is one of them. Fox Sports has done a great job.
What do you do, Mitch?
I'm a director. I direct for Fox Sports.
Nice. Yeah, no, this it stinks. And you understand the business because, you know, most of the times we go to work and a lot of times there's people that complain, and I always look at people that complain in our business about going to work, and I say, come on, you know, we have it better than so many other people. A lot of us get to go to work in shorts and a T-shirt, or we have to dress up and wear a polo and maybe some jeans, and we get to talk about sports, and many people are jealous in what we do. But also times like this, we forget a lot about the people behind the scenes. And, you know, someone that's running our board today in New York is Matt Essick. He's doing a great job. And, you know, I got my guys working from home and Mikey B and Tom DiBenedetto that, yes, they're not necessarily always speaking on the air, but they do an enormous job and they put in a great amount of effort in doing this show. And there's people even at our network that come on in and they cut tape and do all that stuff. And there's a lot of people in every business that unfortunately right now they're either losing their job or their job is being put on hold until we get back to that normalcy. Because you know it in this business, when you have a crazy busy sports night, there's a lot of people that go into the production of the on-air product. And now without sports, every business unfortunately is having to make cuts, and some could survive with making the cuts and some can not survive without making the cuts. So if you're a company that could survive without making the cuts, you know, I encourage you to do that, but it's not my decision to be made. So it's a good perspective, Mitch, and a good point that you bring up.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Like I said, there's thousands of us out here. We're all working hard. We all want sports back just like the rest of us. We're hoping and praying that we're back by, you know, end of May, beginning of June, but we're bunkering down and hunkering down and set to go maybe this whole summer. We'll see. It changes day by day, but like I said, thanks for the shout out. And
yeah, Mitch, one more thing before we let you run. Who's in the coma? Can you just say his name one more time? Sorry, your line broke up a little bit.
They did not want me to his name to be released.
Oh, gotcha.
There's a GoFundMe set up if you want to go help him out. It's under Detroit Cameraman. But they don't want his name released. He's in a medically induced coma. Yep.
So do me a favor, if you can, when you get a moment, tweet me at Zach Gelb, and we'll retweet that, and we'll try to do the best to spread out that word. So, Mitch, be well, be safe, and hopefully we could all get back to our normal lives soon. So good stuff there from Mitch in California to start us off on a Friday. And, hey, you know, you hear tons of stories like that. It's absolutely awful. It stinks. It's miserable with what we're going through right now in our life, and hopefully sooner rather than later, although if we're going to be honest, it does not seem like that's going to be the case. Hopefully, you know, we get some miracle and this goes away a little bit quicker than what we expected, how long it's going to last. And, you know, I heard Kirk Herbstreit last night where he's saying people he talks to say that there's probably not going to be a vaccine for another 12 to 18 months. And he's talking about how until there's a vaccine, you may not have, you know, football occur in the fall. And we think about that. And that was from a sports fear, because there's real fears in sports. And then there's fears that, okay, in the large scheme of things, it pales in comparison to our real world and our real life problems. And I remember when this first came out, and we first started to see the seriousness of this, and really sports for me did trigger it, because you heard about it for 2-3 weeks. You know, you would be at a family function and people would be talking about it, but we didn't understand it really yet because we weren't realizing the impact that was happening on our own soil. Because you hear about things that are going on in Italy and you say, oh man, it's awful. Oh, it's horrible. And you hear about what's going on, what happened in China, and you go, oh, that's terrible. Oh, it's awful. But selfishly, you sit there and you go, ah, well, that's not going to happen. And it's naive. You know, it's ignorant at times, but it's also just the way that we're wired that you may sit there and say, yeah, but it's not happening here, so it's not going to happen here. And you get this thought and you get this belief. And then you start to listen to more and more about science and about from medical experts, and you go, wow, this is scary. You know, this is a big time wake up call. And this is something that I'll be the first one to say it, that, you know, I'm scared about. And people, you know, I'm not going to be afraid to, or apprehensive to say I'm scared, because I don't need to puff my chest and say, oh, look at me, I'm this big tough guy that's able to give an opinion, and I'm not scared, because I'd be lying to you. And I don't lie to the listening audience. This is a scary time right now. This is a different time right now. And this is a tough time right now that we're going through. And it's one of those things that, for me personally, even though I was informed to the best of my ability, and I think for a lot of people as well, at least in my circle, and that's the sports circle, we didn't realize how dangerous to the full extent this had the potential of being until that Wednesday night on March 11th, I think was the exact date, when we found out that the Jazz and Thunder game was being postponed. And you heard that report that Rudy Gobert was going to miss the game because of an illness. And at the time, you didn't want to speculate, but if you were being truthful, the first thought was, when you hear coronavirus, well, he missed a game for an illness, maybe it is the coronavirus. And we were talking about it on the air that night. And I said, if in fact Rudy Gobert has the coronavirus, the NBA, by the time we wake up the next day, the season's going to be postponed. And it wasn't even that next day. About 5 to 10 minutes later, we expected it, and we're sitting there, and all we could sit there and say was wow, like we were shocked when that announcement came down, even though we were talking about it 5 minutes before that we expected the season to be postponed, and then eventually March Madness, and then eventually the NHL and the MLB season will get delayed. And the thing that scares me the most about this, the thing that gets me worked up the most about this, you know, obviously you look at and you hear it, and I have friends that are nurses and doctors, and you hear what they're saying, and those posts are gut-wrenching, they're emotional, they're tough to get to, and you hope that we could get them the proper supplies that they need. I know one of my friends, he's a med, and he reached out to me the other day, and he said, hey, can you retweet this? And I retweeted it, and I tried to get other people to retweet it too, and I donated as well. We need more supplies. We're doing everything we can to raise money to get supplies. And he said, through my retweet and through people, he asked the people where they were donating, you know, we ended up helping donate $600. So that was a good feeling. And the cause that they're leading ended up getting $20,000 already in donations. So it's nice to play a role in that and use this as a platform to help. But really, when we go back to, and even when you were hearing some stuff from nurses and for some doctors, for me, because I relate best to sports, that Wednesday night was the first real wake-up call. And to show you maybe, and it's all because it's new and it's different, so I don't even want to say the word ignorant, but really we didn't understand, I would say from the start, the dangers of this. That's the best way that I could word it. And we didn't necessarily know what was going to happen, because remember the big debate? The big debate was, are we going to let fans into the NCAA tournament or not? We weren't even thinking about the players at the time, that they could have it. And another thing was, oh, shame on the Ivy League for canceling their Ivy League tournament. How could you do that? Just other leagues, they're trying to play their conference tournaments. They're not letting fans in, though. And the Ivy ended up being right. So these are times right now that they're not easy. These are difficult. And I'm fortunate and I'm lucky And I'm appreciative of the fact that I still have a job to go to every day. And we have this incredible platform Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 7 p.m. Pacific to just be able to talk and connect with you. And we hear from our last caller, Mitch, about someone he knows that's in a coma because of the coronavirus. And I share a story about my mom's college roommate who her father passed away and she had to self-quarantine herself inside his home when the father's fighting for his life and unfortunately he passed away. So this is going to be a thing where if you don't know someone that already has the coronavirus, you will know someone soon. And that's why I beg that everyone needs to practice social distancing right now and stay at home as much as possible. There's going to be times you have to leave the home. Physical activity, going for a walk to clear your mind, to make sure that your mental state is okay and your physical state is okay, is one of those times. But if you go on a walk and you come encounter with someone, stay 6 feet away. You're going to have to go to a supermarket. You're going to have to do things that require you to leave your home, but we can minimize the amount of times we need to leave our home. So even though I open up the show frustrated that all I could do right now is go for a walk pretty much and sit in my backyard and work out inside my house, yes, I'm frustrated. Sure, for every single person, you're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. And there's going to be days where you feel as if you're losing your mind, but then there's people that are in a hospital right now that are fighting for their life. So even though for us personally, I wake up today and my bones are filled with anxiety, and I'm just saying, enough, like that. We got to get back to our normal lives. We can't right now. And I would like to say it's okay. And I would like to say we'll be all right, but I don't know. And to me, that's what scares me the most about this. We don't know what the next turn is going to be in this entire situation. We don't. We don't know what the next turn is going to be in this situation. And not having a finish line. Because I'm a person of structure. You know, sometimes we could lose our way in that structure. It's a very loose structure. But I like to know where I'm going from point A to point B. There could be some hiccups, there could be some bumps from point A to point B, but right now I'm at point A, and I don't know where the finish line is for point B. And that's the scary part to me. So I hope you and your families, if we can take one positive about this, and a lot of families are separated, but whoever you're able to spend this time with, hopefully you guys are getting closer. And if you're on your own right now, hopefully you have someone via technology, whether it's Zoom or Snapchat or whatever it is, that you're able to connect with them so you know, even though you're in your house alone or your apartment alone, that we're all in this together. And heck, that may even be on this radio show. There could be a listener that's by themselves and each and every day they connect with us for 4 hours. And if you need to call us and if you need to talk to blow us some steam, you could do that right here at 855-212-4CBS. Demario Davis did connect with us. He said he's going to come on at the top of the hour. We'll take a timeout. And when we come back, we'll talk to an NBA head coach, former coach of the year now with the Detroit Pistons. Dwayne Casey will join us on the Zach Gelb Show.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on a Friday, 855-212-4CBS, at Zach Gelb on Twitter. We'll head out to the hotline right now and welcome in the coach of the Detroit Pistons, and that's Dwayne Casey here with us on the show. Coach, how are you and the family holding up? Thanks for a few minutes.
Doing great. We're all kind of hunkered down here in Detroit. I think there's a lot of people around the country doing a lot worse, but missing basketball, but enjoying my family time.
Yeah, aren't we all? We're all enjoying family time, but we're missing basketball. I know that the health is of the utmost importance and the family is of the utmost importance too, But, man, missing basketball right now, you hit the nail right on the head. You must be losing your mind a little bit without having basketball, right?
Well, I am, but I do, like you just said, I totally understand the size and the magnitude of the situation that the entire country is going through. And I know Adam did a great job of making, being kind of the head point and the leader in making sure that all sports, not only the NBA, but I think he led the way for the NCAA basketball, Major League Baseball, spring sports in college, to kind of say, hey, it's okay to take a step back and really view the entire situation and not just think about the moment or think about this tournament, but the health of the entire country.
And on March 11th, that was the day that it really changed for me in America and for a lot of sports fans, too. You were playing a game, and then there was also that game that was supposed to be played with the Thunder and the Jazz, and the next thing you know, that game doesn't ever tip off. We find out Rudy Gobert has the coronavirus, and then the next moment, in a blink of an eye, the NBA season is postponed. How do you go back and process and tell us how you found out about all this coming off a game on March 11th?
It was really crazy because I think it was in the fourth quarter we got information that Rudy had tested positive, and they had made that, you know, hadn't made the decision on the season, but made the call that he had tested positive. And we had a player, Sekou Dubois, who is really close to Gobert. And again, he had been with him in after our game when we played Utah on Saturday night. So our whole thing was, let's get Sekou away, get away from the team, and have him, you know, tested or whatever the situation was, because he's the one who had probably the closest contact most recently with Gobert, who, by the way, I don't think we can put this entire season on Rudy Gobert. Believe me, there's a lot of other people, I'm sure, that had, you know, that could have possibly caused this pandemic, it more so than Rudy Gobert, and we shouldn't put it all on him. But Sekou had been in contact, so we took him off the floor. The game was over, and that's when Adam called suspended the season. And then we go back, and any guys had symptoms were tested. And, you know, as everyone already knows, Christian Wood tested positive, and Sekou tested negative. So it was one of those situations where we thought it was Sekou, but in reality it was Christian who tested positive. But our medical staff did a great job of making sure guys were informed of the situation, informed of what they should and shouldn't do. We were all quarantined for 14 days, and after the quarantine, everybody is doing fine.
Dwayne Casey here with us, the coach of the Pistons. Coach, you know this, you know, as me being a regular sports fan, a sports talk radio host, there's a lot of times my listeners and myself, we look at athletes as invincible, but we know that isn't the case. They have human emotions too. There's basketball issues, and then there's life issues. When this was all unfolding, what did you say to your team? Because that's not an easy spot, but you want to give some message, correct?
Well, no question. You know, right after the game was over, we didn't know how long this suspension of the season was going to be. We didn't know if we'd see each other again after we got off the plane coming from Philadelphia. So we all got together in the locker room after the game, and our team doctor spoke to everyone and talked to them about the situation, the do's and don'ts. Re-emphasize the washing of the hands and the distancing from each other. And so our medical team did a good job after the game of really informing the guys. And I just told the guys, look, don't know when we're going to get back again, if we get back again, but, you know, let's maintain somewhat of conditioning, stay in shape if you have any needs. So our organization did a good job of each day having a phone call with all the traveling parties, all of our players, making sure they were informed. We had our team psychologist, we call him our life coach, to be there for the guys. Because if you think about it, a player being quarantined for 14 days, can't touch a basketball, can't go in a gym, that can mess with you a little bit psychologically. And for the first time, players can't go into the gym. So I think our staff did a good job of really providing assistance and really information for everyone that was traveling. So it was my first time. I had never seen anything like it in coaching a season in the middle of the, kind of toward the middle, you know, toward the end of the season, being suspended and you don't. There's no really textbook for that. There's no playbook or in the season speech for that. It's kind of like, okay, we're all in this together, but our health and your family is the most important thing right now.
Dwayne Casey is my guest. What did you say to Christian Wood? I saw that he made a full recovery, so that's good news, but reflect a little bit on that process specifically with Christian and what you could tell us.
Well, you know, just what we can talk about. One, you know, it's Christian's privacy, his HIPAA laws that protect him, but somehow, some way it got out that he, you know, had the virus, and so that was unfortunate. But just keeping his spirits up and knew that he wasn't sick, and we're talking to him. He let us know his symptoms. He's feeling fine. I think he had a sore throat a little bit toward the beginning of the week, but nothing, that was going to take him down. So he was in good spirits and good health through the whole process. He was asymptomatic. So that was encouraging. But at the same time, scary because, you know, if you can be as healthy as he was and still have the virus, that's scary. But he's fine now. He's in good spirits. Our team, our organization made sure all of our players who were single and living by themselves had food delivered and provided for them. Our owner, you know, spared no expense in as far as making sure he took care of the players.
Dwayne Casey here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show. There's Dwayne Casey, the coach, and then also Dwayne Casey, the family man. Your family's reading this, and they were probably concerned when a lot of this is playing out publicly. Right. What did you tell your family, Coach?
Well, one thing I didn't do, because at that time, school wasn't out yet, and school was still in session, and I didn't want to go back and put my kids at risk or, Lord forbid, other kids at risk. Because I didn't know at that time by going into quarantine whether I was, infected or not. But luckily I wasn't, and so I was, but I didn't go home. So I stayed at a local hotel a couple of nights just to make sure. And then after that is when they called off school here in the Detroit area. And so then that's when I went home, still stayed in quarantine, stayed downstairs. My family was great. My wife was great. She took it very seriously. She made sure everything was wiped down and clean, and but again, I stayed away from my family until the 14-day quarantine was over.
How old are your kids, Coach, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I don't. 12 and 8, so they were their young age, but they're sharp kids, so they understood that it wasn't because I wanted to be away from them, but it was for good health reasons I was away from them. And they were troopers with it, and so the last couple of days since we've been out of quarantine, we've been outside, playing hoops and shooting hoops and getting some fresh air.
Probably also watching some movies too, right, Coach?
All kind of movies, yes. I've watched probably more movies, and also been watching a lot of college games too, kind of keeping up with the draft, because the way our season went, it looks like we'll be in the lottery, so I want to make sure I'm well-informed and see as many college games as I possibly can and players I can, and So trying to catch up and get informed on guys that may be what we're going to draft.
No one knows when the NBA is going to come back, but are you optimistic that at some point this season's going to be able to finish out, Dwayne Casey?
Well, I'm optimistic. I want to be optimistic. I told our players to kind of give ourselves a fighting chance once we do come back to keep our mind on basketball a little bit. Make sure we take care of our families and be safe, but yet still do things to kind of keep your heart rate up and body and mind, because the worst thing you can do is go on vacation mode and get your body in vacation mode, and then you try to come back and play. It's not going to happen. I think the longer we're out, the longer it's going to take us to get back and get our bodies back in NBA shape, NBA game shape. But I'm optimistic. I think we need it as an organization. Our team needs it to continue to grow our young players to get ready for next year.
Just curious, as we're wrapping up with the coach of the Pistons and Dwayne Casey, you have a background in the college game as an assistant coach, and you also played college ball at Kentucky. What would you say to a senior who, unfortunately, this is how their senior year did end, with no March Madness and no conference tournaments?
I tell you what, I feel for him. I just remember the last, running through the hoop on senior night. That's probably the most precious night you can have. But then you have to draw back from the relationships and the time you had at whatever school you went to, and think of the good times. It's the experience, not the last night, so to speak. But I know it has to be probably, you know, traumatic for seniors to thinking that they had an opportunity to go to the dance, and even the ones that didn't have an opportunity to go to dance. You know, you don't want to think about the last night. Think of the 4 years or the year that you were there and the great experiences you had in college, and really draw from that, and don't think about that one, you know, probably tournament or NCAA appearance or whatever it is. You know, don't measure your college experience from that. Measure it from the entire college, experience, your classes, your classmates, one of the classes, the education that you got. All those things have to now stand for what you have to remember from your college experience.
Coach, just one basketball point before we let you run. Nick Nurse has done an incredible job with Toronto. You know Nick very well. They won the championship, as you know, last year. And this year they lose Kawhi Leonard, and they had such an impressive team. With your relationship with Nick, what makes him such a good coach, if you could put that into words?
Well, the foundation was there. I mean, you know, we had won, 50 games with that same group without Kawhi before there. Nick was a big part of that. Offensively, he did a good job offensively. Rex Kalamian ran the defense, and I think we're in the top five or so in both of those. So, but Nick did a good job with the offense, and he's maintained that even after Kawhi left. You would throw a Kawhi in there with a 59-win team, you know, that's a huge, huge bump. And put Danny Green in there and throw Marcus Gasol. So Nick did a good job of kind of keeping that together, adding to it, and then going on and winning the championship. So he's done a good job with that. And then you still – the key with that, too, Kyle Lowry is still there. He's the head of the snake, and they've done a heck of a job. And then the growth of Pascal Siakam. Nick did a good job of really allowing him to blossom and bloom the way he has. And so they've done a heck of a job up there with that. But the foundation was there, and Nick did a good job of going with it and adding to it with Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, and Marc Gasol, and taking off from there and then maintaining that coming back into this year.
Coach, continued success to you with your health and also your family, and hopefully we get the NBA back soon. Really do appreciate some time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Okay.
No problem. Be well. There's Dwayne Casey, the coach of the Pistons. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, DeMario Davis is going to join us on the Zach Gelb Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.